so much for your word. We thank you for the Spirit of God being alive in this place, Father. We ask that the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the revelator, as Jesus said he was, that he be present to minister today in and through us. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is in this place. We welcome him in to move in any shape, form, or fashion that he desires. I yield myself as a vessel, as an oracle of God. Speak through my mouth, Father. As I yield myself, think through my mind that I might articulate your word boldly and with clarity to your people. I thank you, Father, for all those in here today that have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles back up to 3 John 2. We're on the series entitled Be in Health. Be in Health. The Fall Bible Seminar this year is entitled Be in Health. It's God's will that you be in health. God doesn't want a Christian to have one sick day. We know that we've had them. We know that we have them. But that's not God's perfect will for us. He wants us healed every day of our life. And he's laid down a plan in the Word of God for the healing of our spirits, the healing of our souls, the healing of our bodies. But in many ways, we've not seen that. It hasn't been taught. It hasn't been preached. So therefore, many people have no faith to be healed, or have little faith to be healed, or are disobedient about the laws of God concerning health and what you should eat and what you should not eat. It's not a matter of just pray. No more than you're going to get saved by just praying. If you come up once and pray Jesus is Savior and go on and do that, you know you got to live right if you're going to stay alive. It's not just praying. Faith without corresponding actions is not faith. It's dead being alone. Faith for our salvation, you have to carry on in God. Faith for our divine health in your body, you have to carry on in God, but you have to find out what he said. Now, let's look here. We spent time establishing there. John, anointed by the Holy Spirit, was speaking to Gaius, but it's true for all saints. And he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and that you what? God says, I wish above all things that his people, his children, would prosper and be in health. He wishes above all things that you would prosper and would be in health. That's financial blessing. We dealt with that before, but also in our physical blessing. He wants your body healed. Sickness is from Satan. It's not from God. We began to look over in our, don't turn there. We're in review. We looked at Psalms 103, verse 2, and it said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who take away, who forgives you of your iniquities and take sickness out of the midst of you. God says he will heal all of your diseases. He would heal all of the diseases. He told us in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 that Jesus, the night before he was crucified, in that 24-hour period, there's two things he accomplished. He accomplished the salvation of our spirit so that we could be saved if we choose to be, but he also accomplished the healing of our body if we choose to be. It says Jesus himself bore our sicknesses on the tree. It says, surely God, Jesus, has borne our griefs, which is our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, which is our pains. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, not for his own, but for ours. Then it says, by his stripes, ye are healed. By his stripes, ye are healed. We looked in 1 Peter 2:24, past tense. After Jesus was dead, buried, resurrected in heaven, this is what the church was teaching. This is what Peter and John was teaching. By Jesus' stripes, ye were healed. You were healed. You were made whole by what Jesus did. Nobody will argue whether you're saved by what he did. We say, oh, yeah, by the blood. If I come up and confess Jesus and receive him, I'm saved. I have no question. But people will argue whether it means you're healed. But he shed his blood in that 24 hours for the forgiveness of your sins. But he also, by his stripes in that 24 hours, took sickness away from you. You don't have to have it. Yeah, but Pastor Cook, if I didn't have to have sickness, then I wouldn't be sick. If it was God's will for me healed, I'd be healed. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. You know that. Jesus came and died for the world. That's everybody. Is everybody saved? Do people die and go to hell? Yeah, so that must mean you have a part to play. You have a part to play in receiving salvation, and you have a part to play in receiving healing. You receive salvation by faith. You must receive healing by faith. But how do they have faith if nobody's telling them? If people are telling them the opposite. We looked at Matthew 15, 21 through 28, which says healing is the children's bread. The children of God deserve healing. It is their bread. It is fit and meat for them. It belongs to the body of Christ. We looked at Psalms 107, verse 22. It says God sent his word, not only Jesus, but also his written word. He sent his living word and his written word to do what? To heal. God sent his word to heal. Now, we could go through because the scriptures are replete with examples of where God's will is for us to be healed. But we know, we've heard it enough. It's God's will that we be healed. We begin to look at some of the steps to getting healed. One of them is, of course, be born again. Be alive unto God. Be where you're entitled to it. We looked at the Greek word behind salvation where it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord God Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised from dead, you would be saved. That Greek word is sozo, which means to be made whole in spirit. in soul and in body. When you get born again, all of that is entitled to you. Wholeness is entitled to you, spirit, soul, and body. But then you go to Romans 12:1 to Christians. Once you're born again, now you got to be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now that I'm saved, how do I have all these benefits that a salvation, that a saved person has? I've got to renew my mind to the Word of God. I have to meditate the Word of God. We looked at that. We said, number two, you have to obey the Word of God. We look through Proverbs. We cannot continue to go against the Word of God concerning our eating habits, our living habits, stress, rest, and different things, which we're notorious for doing, not getting the rest we should get, trying to make another dollar. Stressing out, sitting down, watching the news when all it does is depress you and stress you, but watching it anyway. And you know you don't need to worry about what's going on outside the world unless it's got something to do with you. You don't have to worry about what's going on down the block if it doesn't have anything to do with you. But people watch that and get full of stress, and that brings anxiety. And then that brings problems on the inside of the body. We looked also at forgiveness. You can't walk around being mad at the white man. You can't walk around being mad at the black man. You can't walk around being mad at the rich man or the poor man or the man who stole your dog or the sister who stole your boyfriend. You cannot walk around in unforgiveness, because God said in His Word, if you do not forgive, neither shall He forgive you. And what greater debt the Lord has forgiven us that we would dare think what anybody could do to us or have done to us can compare to what God forgave us for and what He's going to give us. We don't have the right as Christians to walk around not forgiving people. After all, you're dead anyway, aren't you? The Bible says when you got born again, you're dead and buried with Christ, not you that liveth, but Christ that liveth in you. So if Christ is living in you, then Christ obviously forgave him. He came to die for him. So every time you walk around in bitterness and prejudice and all that kind of foolishness, no matter whether you think it's justified or not, because once you justify it to you, God's going to justify not forgiving you. Get the tapes. We covered that with scriptures, and Jesus taught it with illustrations and so forth. Get a hold of that. Now we want to go to some new material here. We want to talk about God's plan for healthy living. Still going with being healthy, but let's talk about God's plan for healthy living. God's plan for healthy living. Open your Bible to Genesis 1:27. God's plan for healthy living. God's plan for healthy living. That's what's important. We're not talking about the doctor's plan. Some of you, I've told you a million times, you know how we all went to school, how many people learned that little pyramid about the basic food groups? And if you ever look at that real carefully, at the bottom of that pyramid, it says produced by the food and dairy, the meat and dairy association. Did you know that the meat and dairy association produced the food group pyramid that we all were taught is what you eat? Do you know most people in the world don't eat dairy? Dairy is not essential for life, but it's on the food group of essential foods of the food company who makes the dairy. It's not an essential group. Most people in the world do not eat dairy. But they say it's essential. Always look at where the source is from. Those are not things that are essential. Much of that stuff on there will kill you. Much of it on will kill you. Slowly, but nonetheless, it'll kill you. It'll take years off your life. Dairy messes you up. We are the only animal, as it were, in God's kingdom, quote unquote, who consumes milk and doesn't have enough sense to stop after they're weaned. And we're also the only animal in God's kingdom who eats another animal's milk. Now, when you stop and think, that doesn't even sound natural. I was doing a study, and they said you'd be far healthier eating lizard milk. You wouldn't get a whole lot of it, but you'd be far healthier eating lizard milk and all these other small animals' milk than you would cow's milk. But we eat it anyway. Now, does that mean it's all going to kill you? If you can get a whole lot of cow and you eat it in moderation, there are some good things in it. But if you eat too much of it, and if you eat it at all pasteurized and homogenized, it is poison. And it causes osteoporosis. It doesn't matter what the milk and dairy commercial says. It causes osteoporosis. We talked about that yesterday. What it does is when your body digests animal protein, whether it's red meat or white meat or the other white meat pork, or whether it's milk or anything like that, when it digests animal protein, the natural byproduct of your human body digesting animal protein is uric acid. And if you're not getting enough raw fruits and vegetables, the acid becomes in excess in your body. When the acid becomes an excess in your body, then degenerative diseases start. Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, high blood pressure, arthritis. You go on down the list. Everything that plagues man starts coming from that. When you have too much acid. We talked a little bit yesterday about pH. If you can manage and maintain the pH balance in your body, you cannot get 150 of the degenerative diseases that most people have. If you can manage the pH level. pH in your spine is 7.4, and it should be that throughout the rest of your body. For a little $5 kit that tests your pH, you can monitor whether you're in a position where cancer can attach your body or other degenerative diseases or not. But see, doctors will make a lot of money on that. You remember in the old days, you go in the doctor, you say, stick out your tongue. Hit your knee with a hammer. Let me look at your eyes. Let me look at your skin. And he'll be able to diagnose a multitude of illnesses just by that. Now you got to have a CAT scan. You got to have a mammogram. You got to have an MRI. You got to go on down the list. Why? Because you can't make money looking at people's tongue. But if you put them in some machine, it has been proven that no woman should get a mammogram. But see, you don't know that, so you may get it anyway. Each time you get a mammogram, you increase your possibility of getting cancer by 2%. Because all you're doing is putting radiation, and it is proven that it is no more accurate than a trained doctor's physical exam. All you get out of a mammogram is a shadow picture. That's why every time you get one, if they think they see something, they go through something else. They got to go do something else. They don't go straight to surgery because they can't diagnose anything from it. Now, a lot of people don't know that. I wonder how all those people live before they create that equipment. Some people forget how most of the world lives a lot better and a lot longer than we do, and they don't have all these gadgets that people have told you must have. And you've got the most leading modern medical facilities on the planet. We are just a bit above witch doctors in our medical field. Now, I don't mean to put anybody down or anything. You study it out and you see what it says. But we just do some crazy things. Basically, I was studying some things about what medical school's doing it. And I understand I have doctors in my family, so I'm not talking about the doctors. Doctors aren't doing what they've been taught. And that doesn't mean they don't help people with certain things. But primarily in the medical field, what you're taught in medical school, first of all, I want to remind you that only 75% of all medical schools in the United States do not teach even one class on nutrition or food. Now, we're talking about people's health. And the medical school doesn't teach class on nutrition and food. But they will teach you how to drug and which drug to use. They'll teach you when to radiate and they'll teach you when to cut it out. And pretty much when you go in the doctor, you're either going to get a drug, they're going to prescribe radiation, or they're going to prescribe surgery. Those are the three modalities that they teach in the modern Western medicine. And they are much more success. Magic Johnson knew when he had AIDS, he said, look, I got to get out of here. And he went over to a place in Africa through a natural healer, and you ain't heard nothing about him having AIDS anymore, have you?
No.
But they suppress him, tell him, you don't talk about this. We don't want people going out trying crazy cures and things like that. I know for a fact that there are cures for cancer. We know what causes cancer. We know what cures it. But it is written in the document of the Cancer Foundation, American Cancer Society, that once they find a cure for cancer, they have to disband. Now, there's people making millions of dollars. Why would they want to disband and lose their job? There's no motivation. There's no motivation to find it. And then they actively suppress it. You can go and study different sources on the Internet that are out there. I just want to throw some things out there to open up your mind. Now, let's look a little bit further here. Now, Genesis 1:27, let's look at what God has to say about the plan for healthy living. Because, you know, he has a plan. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. But God knows. Genesis 1:27. For those that are your first time today, get the tapes because faith is progressive. We've been establishing some things line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little for the last 6 or 7 hours on this subject. Let's look here. Genesis, what did I say? Genesis 1:27. Let me get there. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, this is the original plan for man that God established. In the beginning, God established man to live forever. To never have death, but to live forever. And God said, this is what he needed. And God said, behold, I've given unto you every herb, that's plants, vegetation, that bear seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be meat. Now, we've learned the dangers of sucrose, which is white sugar. Sucrose is a ribosome that you plant it and it has a running root. You don't really plant it from a seed. You don't plant it from a seed. It runs. Corn is from a seed. You plant corn from a seed. So you've got certain things you eat and shouldn't eat. Sugar, sucrose sugar is very dangerous for the human body. And you would be hard pressed to go on a standard supermarket and find anything that doesn't have sugar in it. Because it's also a legalized addictive substance. People get addicted to it, it's legal, so they put it in everything they can. You'll find sugar in the ketchup. You'll find sugar in the potato chips. You'll find sugar in everything. If not sugar, caffeine. If not that, salt. If not that, you definitely have white flour, and usually you have all of them. You have all of them. Caffeine, White flour, which is dead, purposeless, no germ in it, not even worth eating. All it's going to do in your body is turn to clay. Some of you older people remember when they used to make paste out of flour. You just mix it up and you stick it together. Still makes paste out of flour. It just ends up in your arteries. But they still make paste out of flour. Just you eat it and it goes in. White bread is worthless bread. It's not even food. You should never put it in your mouth. Wheat bread is wasted bread unless it's whole wheat. Because I found out recently, I'd eat wheat bread all the time, and I found out if it's not whole wheat, all it is white bread that they add a little bit of molasses to back to. There are all kind of gimmicks out there to get your money. But be not ignorant of the enemy's devices or he will gain advantage over you. Satan has come to do what? To I didn't say it. God said Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. He is not trying to get you healthy. He is trying to kill you. And anybody who will yield to the love of money over the love of God, which the love of money is the root of all evil, not money, but the love of it. And there are some folks that love money that they would do you personal and mortal harm just so they can make another buck. I was reading something that Kevin Trudeau had written, and it was very interesting. He actually was in the industry of advertising and things with that, and he ended up doing a 3-year stint in prison because, you know, some of the people made him the scapegoat. So he came out, and he has a phrase. He says, I'm mad as hell, and I just ain't going to take it no more. And he talked about how he set up in boardrooms. And he said, you not believe it. We're sitting in these boardrooms trying to get these drugs, talking to these guys about getting these drugs approved. And the guy said, look, the science people, their own science people are saying this thing destroys people's livers. The guy said, I don't give a darn. He didn't use darn. But he said, I don't give a darn about somebody's liver. By the time the FDA stopped us, we would have made $8 billion. Do whatever you have to do, pay what you have to pay, and get it on the market. Now, Vioxx was on the market. It's off the market. I'll tell you, a prophecy that's not even from God. Prozac's going to come off the market. Watch it come off. Viagra's going to come out the market. There are so many people dying of Viagra, it's ridiculous. And after they made enough money, enough people died, then they'll pull it off the market quietly. And the only time you ever hear about the drugs to go off the market is when somebody gets a class action suit. And then you hear about it because somebody's saying, do you have a relative that works in the steel plant with asbestos? Do you have mesothelioma? Well, call J. Sokoloff Law Firm. That's the only time you ever hear about what came off the market. When somebody's been sued, and only at the level of class action suit. All these wonder drugs that came out of gone. Do you know that all they tell you is that you just give a little more money, we are real close to a cure to cancer. We're real close to a cure for muscular dystrophy. We're real close to a cure for MS. We are real close to it. We have more muscular dystrophy, more MS, more diabetes, more cancer, and more of anything than we have ever had. And it has not decreased since they started studying it. It has only increased, and they have more money. Yes. Throwing money at it is not going to fix it when the people you give them the money don't want to fix it. Yes, right. It has too much money in it. Last year, we spent $2 trillion on health care. $2 trillion. Now, who wants to give up $2 trillion? Even the government. The love of money is at the root of anything that's evil. The love of money. The love of money. Let's go on a little bit further here. Notice what it says here. And behold, I've given unto you every herb that bears seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree bears seed, that it shall be meat. Now, in the original diet was a vegetarian diet. Adam and Eve would eat vegetarian. Can you eat meat? I'm against people eating meat. I just tell you get quality meat. Most of the meat you buy in the grocery store is not quality meat. Get some information, because most of the meat you buy in a grocery store has been raised in American cattle industry. It has bovine growth hormone in it. If you've been trying to diet and different things and you wonder why you can't lose weight, it's because you're eating the meat that has the hormone that was fattening up the cow, the chicken, and the pig for market. And when you eat it, the hormone is in the fat, is in the meat, and you eat it. Why are young girls going into puberty prematurely? Why are young boys going to puberty prematurely? There's girls that are 8, 9, 10 years old now ready to have babies. Not ready any kind of psychological or moral way, but they're ready in their bodies. That's coming from the growth hormone. It's speeding up the puberty. It's accelerating them. I had a lady just the other day tell me the doctor was talking about we want to put her daughter on some three years of drugs to slow down her development in puberty. Because, you know, she's in puberty and she's young. Too young to have it, the doctor said. Well, they need to go talk to the meat industry and say these kids are too young to have this. I read a study of a guy in Texas. He's a rancher, and he has a 4-year-old daughter that has full-grown breasts. And he didn't know what it was. Something was wrong, but they have their own meat, and they eat it all the time, he said, breakfast. And that's what they tracked it back to, was the growth hormone that was in the meat. Because they eat it all the time, because it's free for them. You eat it some of the time. Some of you eat it all the time. It's going to swell you up. It's going to fatten you up. And the bovine growth hormone causes sickness in the cattle. So then to keep the cattle, it makes them grow quick, but it makes them sick because it destroys the immune system. Does same thing in your body. So what they do because it destroys the immune system is then they give them regular injections of antibiotics. Why is America becoming immune to antibiotics? It's not because we're using too many. It's because we're eating too many. It's not because we're using too many. They're trying to say, well, we're using it for anything, and that's causing it. You do your real research. Even the government has research out that says that. They just don't market it. We are eating the antibiotics, so therefore our bodies are developing immunities, and people are dying for something that an antibiotic could have stopped. Study. I recommend a book to you called A Mad Cowboy. You know, another one called Slaughterhouse. You study the research, get the stats, get the figures. God talked about the cattle, what cattle to eat, what cattle not to eat, what condition to eat. Do not eat the cattle with the blood in it. Do not eat the fatted animal. Let's go on. Now, in the original diet, I do not say you cannot eat meat because we were allowed to eat meat later on, but you eat it in moderation, and you got to get a quality meat. When people say, well, Jesus ate meat, Pastor Cook. Yeah, Jesus ate meat, but he didn't shop at Publix. Farmer Jack, Safeway. He didn't shop there. Free-range cattle is the way they ate. They had free-range cattle. The cows that we eat do not eat grass. They feed most of them corn. And then a bunch of other cows, because the cows in our industry, they have made carnivores out of them. They have stuff left over from the other cows, the dead cows, what they call downer cows. They grind it up, and they feed it back as a protein supplement to the cows. So they've made the cows into something God didn't make them. But why did they give them corn? Because corn has a high sugar content, not a bad sugar, but a high sugar content that swells them up, makes the fat get all through the meat so they have a nice marble texture. I used to sell meat, and we wanted to sell it with a nice marble texture. How many people know what that is? You don't want the fat around the rim. You want to see it all through the meat so that you can't even take it out. That's what we call a good piece of meat. That is a deadly piece of meat. The fat stores the toxins, the pesticides, the herbicides, the insecticides, the bovine, the antibiotics, and everything. You do not want, and God commanded, do not eat the fat of the meat. Let's go on. We get to it. Let's go on. Now, I'm not talking about what I said. I'm talking about what God said. Some of the other figures, you do your own research. Look at Hosea 4:6. God said that in the original diet, fruit and vegetables. I'm not saying you have to go back to that. You can eat some meat. But if you're sick, you better go back to it. If you're sick and you want to get rid of sickness as soon as possible, go back to a raw diet. That means not processed, not out of a box, not out of a can, not pre-warmed, pre-cooked, pre-packaged or anything. If you go to a raw diet, you'd be surprised how quick your problem would go away. And then you can go back to eating some meat, good quality meat. There's grocery stores. There's a natural chain called Wild Oats, a natural chain called Whole Foods. There's one in Boca that we go to here at the church, Whole Foods, and Helen shops there a lot. And if we're going to get meat, we get it. We haven't eaten any meat in a long time, but if we're going to get meat, we get it from there. We get it from there. Where are we at? Hosea 4:6. Now, Hosea 4:6, if you take a look at it, it says that my people are destroyed for what? This is a general truth in the Bible, that God's people are destroyed spiritually for lack of knowledge. Their marriage is destroyed for lack of knowledge, but it's also applicable to your physical body. Why do people die prematurely? The Lord didn't take them. He didn't have need of another flower in his garden. That's foolishness. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's just foolishness. That's religion. That's tradition. Stuff folks made up. People die prematurely because of several reasons. And the primary one in America is going to be diet. Diet. If we eat wrong, Satan will get an advantage over us. Very often it's because we don't know any better. We do it ignorantly, not intentionally. But nonetheless, it happens because God says, I have exalted my word above my name. And his word says he's not to be made a fool of. Whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. If I sow into the wrong things because I'm ignorant of what God's plan concerning eating right, I will die prematurely. It has nothing to do with it. It wasn't my time to go. If we get to it, I'll show the scripture where God says we're promised even in this day 70 years. And additional 10 years for good measure. And some people live up to 120 if they eat right and do right. But generally, the people who reach centurions, there's several groups of people in the world that have attained to centurion status, which means the average person in their culture lives to be at least 100 years old. And every last one of them are vegetarian people. Every last one of them. Every last one of them. Because, see, there's things that's happening to you when you eat meat. That's why God didn't intentionally allow it. But then he had allowed it later, and maybe we'll get to it, and we'll talk about that. Let's go on a little bit further here. Let's look at our Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Stay with me now. Don't turn me off. Psalms 139. Get the tapes if you missed them. We laid a foundation 4 days. You're on the last day. We want to make sure you get a hold of it. Psalms 139, and let's go to verse 14. Are you there? Psalms 139, verse 14. God wants you healed. He wants you to feel good. He doesn't want you feeling any. I remember I've been times when I've been right with God and I forget I even have a body because there's no aches, there's no pains, there's no tension, there's no anything. That's the way God intended for man to live, with no pain, no problem, no such thing as wearing out in old age. Oh, well, those are just pains because I'm getting old. It's something other than age that's doing it. Let's look here. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. Look what the psalmist said, recognizing himself. He says, I will praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do we feel fearfully and wonderfully made when we're sick? Somehow you feel like something wrong. If you just believe as you get old, you're supposed to get sick and die of sickness and get cancer and have cancer and get all these diseases and have these diseases. If you believe that, first of all, it's going to be unto you according to your faith. But the Bible does not teach that, and the Bible does not illustrate that. The Bible doesn't show it at all. Moses lived to be 120, and when he died well. Most of the people in the Bible died well. They didn't die sick. They got old age, laid down, called their young ones unto them, their grandchildren, blessed them, and then they let go of the ghost. Like the American Indians used to do, just came near time, they said, yeah, I'm ready to go. They'd go off somewhere in a cave and just die. Just let go of the ghost. Just release the spirit out of the body and go on. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be sick. Now, God told us after the fall, he said, now the ground is going to be hard. And he said, it's been appointed to you once to die. Before that, there was no death for man. Man was intended to live forever. Now, you live forever anyway because you're a spirit being. But man's body was intended to live forever. And it's funny that meat eating, God started allowing meat eating after the fall when he said man would die. He didn't allow any prior to that. Let's go in here just a little bit further. Study that out. It's very interesting. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But you know, when I'm sick, I'm not feeling wonderfully made. Let me give you an example. So you understand what's going on. Let's take, for example, you get the most modern luxury vehicle with all the bells and whistles and all the modern technology. Now, if you get that vehicle, what's going to happen if you neglect to read the manual about how to properly operate it and how to properly maintain it? What's going to happen if you take and put leaded fuel inside of it when it says unleaded premium only in the manual, but your last car took leaded, so you stuck leaded in it, not thinking about it because you didn't read the manual? Is that car going to perform to peak performance? Is that car, that engine going to last as long as it was designed by the manufacturer to last? Everybody knows common sense. We'd be a fool to say anything other than that. If you get a fancy car with all the bells and whistles and you don't read the manual and it says premium unleaded fuel only and you put unleaded fuel just because your car, last car was unleaded, you got a bunch of friends that unleaded, it's what everybody's doing is using unleaded. But you got a luxury car and you go put that in it. You got something designed to run at peak performance and you put that in it. There's no doubt, and any mechanic, anybody with good sense will say, it is not going to run to performance. It is not going to perform to the length of time of manufacturer specifications. But people do not have enough sense about their body as they have about their car to read the manual. Who created you? Whose idea was it to make a man? It was God's idea. If you're born again, you better say God. Why you got to question your salvation? God created you, and he created you, and he knows what makes you work. Why don't we ever pick up the manual and figure out what God said makes me work? I mean, one of the first commandments he gave was what they should eat. What they should eat. Because he said, okay, now you all here. He made man. He looked at him and said, now this is good. I'm well pleased. Then he said, now this is what kind of fuel you run on. You run on high octane living food. Remember, nobody cooks their food in nature but men. Nobody. And Adam and Eve didn't cook theirs. They didn't start cooking until later. Nobody cooked their food. Nobody. How in the world can you live on raw food? Easy. Animals do it all the time. Oh, but Pastor Cook, if I don't eat myself a whole lot of meat, you know, the meat and dairy industry said that's a good source of protein. I got to drink my milk and eat my meat. Americans have too much protein. That's why they have cancer, colitis, and other problems. We have way, way too much protein. Every day we get too much protein. If you eat what's called the SAD diet, the SAD, Standard American Diet, if you eat that diet, you have too much protein in your body. Way too much. But because they're selling protein, they're still pushing you to need more protein. But that's the same people who made the food chart. They're pushing you need more protein. They know you don't need more of it. If you look at the nations around the world that eat very little meat, there's almost no existence of cancer and degenerative disease. Now, I didn't make this up. Objective people did the research, and I'm just reporting the facts to you. There's very little, well, actually, there's no incident if they're all vegetarian. There's very little incident if they eat very little meat. Depends on the proportion of the meat they eat. Because the raw fruits and vegetables are in their live state, not cooked, have enzymes in them. They have mineral and vitamin content that's five to 10 times greater than once you cook the food and kill it. We told you that once you heat your food over 107 degrees, the enzymes and everything living in it begins to die. Once you get over 122, everything is dead. Anything you boil is dead. It's dead. All you got is some raw chemicals and vitamins, and a lot of those, when you heat them up, they don't work right. You know, like weightlifters, when they want to get protein, they eat the whites of the egg, but they eat it raw. Because once you cook it, it turns to a rubbery substance. We cook it, turn it to rubber, then we eat it. When you heat it up, it changes the molecular structure of the food. When you pasteurize heating up cow's milk to about 150 degrees, 140 to 150 degrees, where the government requires, for I think it is 40 minutes, it has to be, I forget the exact number, it's like 40 minutes, you have to do that to kill all the life out of it, then now it's a dead substance to you. And when you heat it up that high, the calcium that God put in it is now converted to a calcium your body cannot use. Scientific evidence proves that. So literally, when they say milk does the body good, they're not lying. They didn't say pasteurized milk does the body good. They said milk does the body good. So therefore, they float by the government. I'm not lying. But the milk, once it's been pasteurized, is poison. It will kill you, and it won't take that long to kill you. I remember this story about a family who, they were immigrants, and they had come over and they had a business, and they were rich, so they ate high on the hog, they ate all the, as it were, the king's delicacies, all the good stuff, and then the depression came, and their father lost a lot of money, so the guy in it, but he said everybody in his family, the oldest person's family lived to be 56, and that was his grandmother. Everybody in their family died before 56. This was back around 1929, around the stock market crash, and prior to that, 1900s to 1929. Everybody died. The oldest one in their family he could remember was 56, 59. That was grandma. Everybody else died before that. And she died at that too, and that's too young to be going. But they had all, he said they ate all kinds of stuff. And he said when the depression hit and he had to go get a job on a dock, him and his brother, and he said they began to drink cow's milk out the cow, because the neighbor had a cow and they drink cow's milk out the cow, and they began to get a lot of calcium in their body. And all of a sudden, the problems they had, because everybody was sick, he said, about 40, everybody was sick. Just like about now, almost about 40, everybody got something. We think when you hit 40, you're on the top of the hill and that's old age setting in. No, that's a buildup of toxicity. Your body's taking it for 40 years and it can't take it no more. That's not old age coming in, it's toxicity. And if you study carefully, now it's the 32-year-olds, the 33-year-olds. Diseases the children have now did not exist years ago. Juvenile diabetes didn't exist. That was an old folks disease. Sugar was an old folks disease. Now you got teenagers with it because the environment's more toxic and the foods are more lethal, the stuff we call food. It is a fact that 95% of what's in any given grocery store is not food and should not be put in your mouth. Once you get out of fresh produce section, rest of that stuff is mostly poison. Anybody that does any study would know it's a fact. It may sound crazy to you, maybe the first time you heard it, but I can prove it. It's poison. It's made of leftover stuff and recycled and dead stuff, and you don't have life. Your body runs on electrical energy. You know we're chemical, don't you? We're chemical. We're chemical. When you eat living food, you take the living energy, the enzymatic energy from that living food, and you put that in your body to charge your cells and to help you live. The juice man, Jay Cordes, said dead food in, you make you dead. Living food in makes living bodies. Dead food makes dead bodies. Living food makes living bodies. If the majority of your diet is dead food, you're going to have some kind of problem if you don't already have it. You're going to have it. That's just a fact. That's the way it happens. If you have a lot of living energy and living food coming in, your body will be able to fight off all sorts of sickness, all sorts of disease, because it's running at peak performance. We have to get enzymatic activity. If you eat cooked foods, you shouldn't eat more than 25%, and it'd be smarter if you stay around no more than 15% cooked food. And the majority of your diet should be raw food. Salads and nuts and legumes and things like that, which are beans and things like that, it should be mostly raw food. If you want to have peak performance, you have got to not have more than 15% cooked food. Because we have been used to the taste of cooked food, the smell of cooked food, and the habit of cooking food. Some folks think they got to have it hot. Why you have to have it hot? Got to have it hot. Because your mama said, baby, hurry up to the table, get it while it's hot. So in the back of your mind, you have to have it hot. There's no reason you have to have it hot. There's no reason. You can have it cold, you can have it mediocre. It's no reason. But it's conditioning. We have been conditioned wrong. So the things we say seem foreign only because The transforming of your mind has not been done. Your mind is still conformed to the world's way. They cook everything, and they cook it dead. And we eat it dead. And I used to say cook it well. Cook it real dead. What I was eating, they probably should cook it dead. Let's go on here a little bit further. It says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How am I sick? If you got that luxury car, your body is a wonderfully and fearfully made. It is awesome. God has put great plan into the human body. Science is still, they're just flabbergasted at how wonderful and intricate the human, how just the eyeball is so wonderful. I mean, it's fascinating. This body is awesome. And you don't put that much work in it for it to be able to get sick. You have to abuse it to get it sick. And it is not a miracle when people get healed. It's a miracle everybody's not sick in America. It's a miracle everybody's not dead. Let's look. Now, Exodus 15, 26. Go to Exodus 15, 26. Exodus 15, 26. Stay with me now. Don't shut me off. Exodus 15, 26. God's got something he wants to say to you if you open up your heart. You know, God wants our bodies lean without having to work hard and all that. I lost 26 pounds and I didn't do a lick of exercise. I cut the grass a time or two, but I didn't do exercise. I lost 16 pounds in 2 weeks, you know, and I said, the Lord led me and spoke to me about going 3 weeks on all raw food. I went on 3 weeks, a couple pounds first week. And after that, the raw food sped up my metabolism so quick. Fed my thalamus gland, I fed my thyroid, that the thyroid start producing what it's supposed to produce to bring the body right down. See, because if you got thyroid problems, you can go one or two ways. You can have a thyroid problem where it's overproductive, and I think if it's overproductive, I believe you lose weight, and if it's underproductive, you gain weight, hyperthyroidism or hypothyroidism. And see, it doesn't matter what you eat. Your body, if that thyroid flips that switch, is going to go that way. But because we're not malnutrition, our thyroids aren't working. So we can diet and do all these things and still not lose weight. We got to quit eating the meat that's full of the bovine growth hormone. Go get whole foods range fed, and also get the metabolism working in your body so all your glands can function properly. Thalamus gland and two other glands. They're behind your eyeballs. God put them behind your eyeballs for a reason. That's because sunlight, the UV light that comes in from the sun, goes into your eyes and nourishes those glands to help your body function properly. The world says buy yourself a pair of sunglasses. If you don't get sunglasses, ultraviolet eyes are going to destroy you, especially in Florida. Get sunglasses. What about people living in Africa, South America? Live all day long in the sun. They don't even have no sunglasses to buy. They don't have glaucoma. They don't have nearsightedness, farsightedness. They have perfect eyes, but they walk around the sun all day long. The same sun we walk around in all day long. But they don't have people trying to sell sunglasses. They don't have people. I didn't throw them away, but I quit wearing my sunglasses because it's to the point where I see great at night and I see fine in the day. But if the sun is like right in my eyes, I'd have to squint. And so I'd wear sunglasses. And I did some study on eyes, big, thick book I was reading on eyes. This has been out since 1860 something. And the government and the science industry has been suppressing it since 1860 something. They've been suppressing it. Everybody can get their eyes healed, nearsightedness, farsightedness, by doing certain exercises, simple exercises. The guy proved it. The guy had a clinic. He had a license, medical doctor, optometrist, and they took his license away because they didn't like him doing it because he wasn't doing it the way it was approved by the American Medical Association, American Optometrist Association in that day, back in 1940. And he passed on to another guy, and we've got one of the books in the bookstore on that. You do those things, you can improve your eyes. You correct your diet and eat the right things, lots of carrots, you will improve your eyes. We had Lynn give a testimony of how her eyes were, but she wore glasses for years, her eyes were bothering her. So she went to the doctor and said, well, maybe my faith isn't working, I don't know, but my eyes are bothering me, I got to go to the doctor, I can hardly see. The doctor said, the reason is your eyes have improved. So from eating right and doing right, her eyes had actually improved, and he had to weaken her prescription. And she's working on a day where she won't need them at all. Do you know if you take those exercises and those other things, simple exercises, Americans in general don't focus. Right now, I'm not focusing on any of you. I'm just looking out there. And we live like that, looking out there. We don't focus on a person's eyes. We don't focus on their nose. We need to start focusing because that's what allows our eyes not to fix at a fixed point, and then you develop near and farsightedness. If you get out of college and you read a whole lot real close, it's not the low light that bothers you. It's the proximity of fixing your eyes for prolonged periods of time. You're telling your body, I need you to stay right here. This is where I work at. I don't want you to strain to be this close. I want you to be at rest. So your body adapts to its environment. If that's what the environment is, it adapts to that. But now it can't focus out there. That's why I tell you, read every now and then, look up and look far away and focus on something across the room. So your vision doesn't become fixed.
Airplane pilots who are staring out over the horizon through the sky. Cowboys are looking at them doggies way out there over the fence. They develop farsightedness. Students develop nearsightedness. Because they fix the vision. Look at stuff. If I look at Robert, I should look at the tip of his nose, look at the shoelace on his shoe. Start getting in the habit of doing that. That's what the book talks about. And you will strengthen your muscle. If I don't work this muscle, although I may have been a weightlifter at one time, if I don't work this muscle, it becomes atrophied and weak. It's a muscle to make your eye focus. But if you just look out there, you generally look at things, generally look at people, you never focus on anything. When you need to focus, your vision is fixed on that because you haven't exercised that muscle. So you have problems focusing. Because it's still a muscle, and all muscles atrophied if they aren't worked. We can't get in the habit of walking around looking and not seeing. Look at stuff. Focus on things. You do it for about a couple of weeks, it'll become a habit. And you just find yourself focusing on things. I've been doing it, and I find myself focusing. I'll focus on somebody's driver's license plate driving down the street. Look at one down the road. Look at a sign way down the road. Now, my eyes have always been perfect. They're above perfect. I've always had 20/17 vision or better. And 2017 is good. That's better than 2020. I've always had good vision. I've confessed that I would never need glasses any day of my life. I will always do. And I noticed my eyes a few years ago were starting to get a little hazy and get out of focus. And that was when I started juicing and drinking the carrot juice and zoop, right back into focus. Because toxicity and other things store in your eyeballs as well as everywhere else. And it begins to degenerate the muscles. So I clean that stuff out. My eyes are fine now. I can see in the day. I can now drive down the street in the sun and not be, well, who got my sunglasses? Which one of you kids and took my sunglasses? What you doing with daddy's sunglasses? I don't do it anymore. I haven't worn my sunglasses in 3 months, 2 or 3 months now. And I don't need to put them on. I mean, if I was staying right in the sun, laying on the beach, trying to suntan my face or something, which I'm not interested in, I'd put my sunglasses on. You see what I'm saying? But I intentionally, when I come to work, I drive into the sun because that's the way I live west of here. So I drive in the sun in the morning. I don't put the sunglasses on. I don't put on a sun visor. I just let my eyes soak up the sunlight. And then when I drive back, I drive into the sun. I just let my eyes soak up the sunlight. And see, that's good for the body. God said a little thing like the eye is the light of the body. He has a lot of little things like the bitterness is drive out the bones. And they found out that carrying anger, anxiety, and bitterness will cause you to develop weak bones. Because it'll stop the hormone it reduces, stops the production of calcium in your body, and that causes the bones to dry out. Boy, God is so smart, it's amazing. He said, a merry heart does good like a medicine. I know this man that was healed of cancer. Somebody told, he was reading the Bible. He just grabbed one scripture. He ain't have but one. Now, of course, he started eating right, but he ain't have but one. But he went and got every funny movie he could find that he thought was funny. And he watched it for 3 months. And 3 months, he got off of that bed healed of terminal cancer. He laughed his way to health. Because when you laugh, you reduce endorphins. When you smile, you induce an emotional reaction that gives health to your body. That's why you should smile even if it's about nothing at all. People might think you're crazy, but sometimes you just need to smile because that releases things in your body. A merry heart does good like a medicine. God says a merry heart is like a medicine to you. These are not just figurative statements. These are facts on how to live. Let's go get a few more of them. Exodus 15:26. Are you there? If you're not there now, there's no hope for you. Exodus 15:26. There's no hope for you. Look on with your neighbor. And God said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in God's sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes and commandments, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals thee. Now either he's healing me or he's making me sick. He says, I'm the Lord God that heals you, but the stipulation is if you do things my way. If you live my way, if you keep your body in the subjection and you follow it and make it line up with my word, if you make it line up. Now, God promised this, just context. I talked about context. Context is very important. He was talking to Jewish people here. Well, you know that we're Gentiles. We came in and that's not us. But you might recall in 1 John 3, flip over there, 1 John 3. I don't want for those more student scholars, you say, now, Pastor Cook, you say a context is important. Who are they talking to? They were talking to the Jews now. That was God's promise to the Jews. Well, let's learn. We're Gentiles. Let's turn to 1 John 3:1. Those were the sons of God then, but you know, that's not us. We're Gentiles. Don't take it out of context, Pastor. 1 John 3:1. Are you there? 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love. Yep, I'm in the right place. 1 John 3:1. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called what? He's talking to Christians here. Christians who received Jesus Christ have been made spiritual Jews, and now are ye the sons of Abraham, therefore the sons of God. So every promise of covenant that was given to Abraham, now that we're Abraham's spiritual seed, we are seeds of Abraham, now they're unto us. So this is entitled to us as well, so we can claim every promise that God gave to the Jew. Because we are now Jews. We're honorary Jews. We've been adopted in and grafted into the family of God because he's given unto us what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Write down your notes, but don't turn there. 1 John 12 says, well, you're already there. Actually, 1 John 12 says, but as many as received him, referring to Jesus Christ, as many as received him, to him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. We're the children of God. Now let's look at another point here. We should give God glory in our bodies. As long as you're in the New Testament, go to 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. As long as you're over the New Testament. We should give God glory in our bodies. You know, God gets glory out of the way you live. Not just your spiritual behavior, but he gets glory out of your body. He gets glory out of you living right. He gets glory out of us obeying the word. You know, it doesn't give God much glory when we walk around sick, sad, and tell people, yep, my God is Jehovah Jireh, the God that healeth thee. Well, I'm just talking about thee, not me. He healed you, not me. No, you lose credibility like that. Jesus went about preaching and teaching, we learn on Sunday. He went about preaching and teaching and healing all those. That's because he wants all those healed. He wants all of us healed. Healing is the children's bread. It belongs to us. Where are we at? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Reads, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So it must be possible for me to eat or drink to the glory of God. As well as other spiritual things, but whether I eat or drink, do it unto the glory of God. Look at verse 32. Give none offense neither to the Jew nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. Whether you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Do what you do. Live unto the glory of God. Let's take a look here and stop and think. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:31, I just read 1 Corinthians 10:31. But the other verse says that, how many people call the verse that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes. We are God's temple. Now, if you study in the Old Testament how meticulous God was with the temple, why would he be any different for our body? Right. If you hadn't studied it, you need to study it. God hired people, anointed them to do it, and had it so specific. It was one of the known wonders of the world, the temple of God. But that's when God dwelt within temple. He said, but in the New Testament, now that people are saved, I no longer dwell in the temples made by the hands of men, but I will dwell within the hearts of men. For know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He wants a nice temple. He wants a clean temple. He wants a healthy temple. He wants a strong temple. He doesn't want to run down, fixer upper. He wants the body to be right. Doesn't that make sense? He wants it to be right. The natural temple of God in Israel was one of the wonders of the world. God has strict detailed specifications as to its construction and as to its use. You had to do it right. Would God care any less about your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost? No, he wouldn't care any less. God cares about your health. Tell you a story about Dr. Rex Russell. Dr. Rex Russell, back in 1967, got out of medical school. He gets out of medical school. He goes, and the first surgery he did, he was a surgeon. The first surgery he did was a circumcision on a three-day-old young boy. And he circumcised him, and the baby wouldn't stop hemorrhaging, wouldn't stop bleeding. And he was like, hey, something's going on. He waited 4 hours and was still bleeding. So eventually he had to consult with another doctor, and they said, look, we got to get this child vitamin K to cause the blood to clot, or it's going to bleed out. So they gave it to vitamin K, the blood stopped, well, it didn't stop, but it slowed down. It didn't stop to about the seventh or eighth day, he said, but it slowed down. And then he went on, and he had another specialist come in and check, and he said, they want to know, well, maybe the baby's a hemophiliac or something. But they checked, no, he didn't have hemophilia. He's fine. He's not, you know, nothing's wrong with him. But then the man later, Dr. Russell, later got saved, and he began to study the Word of God. He looked, and God wrote something in the Bible that triggered him back to that experience. And let's turn there to Genesis 17, the book of the beginnings, Genesis 17. God has sold us so many things about health and healing and all kinds of things that we just throw God out the window and recreate the wheel. And we kill people in our process to recreating the wheel when God's already told you what to do. Genesis 17. And let's look at verse 12. Look what God said here. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised. How many days old? That it was the Dr. Russell said it was a regular custom and customary in that day in 1967 to do circumcisions in the first 3 days of life. And some hospitals still do it. They just say, let's prescribe vitamin K regularly now. But he began to do research later. And what he found out is from drinking mother's milk, from the fifth to the seventh day, the baby develops enough vitamin K in its intestine to clot the blood after the circumcision. God did not explain that to the people. He just said, don't circumcise until the eighth day. That's what he said. Now, you think God just picked eight because it's a pretty number, looks like a skating rink? You think maybe? Or you think the manufacturer of the body knows how it operates? There's so many things where God just said it just right. There's things in there where there's one scripture I was looking at where God said, talking about God understanding and science just catching up. He said that a scripture said that there would be the lightning and then the thunder shall follow. And for many years, scientists said he was wrong because they believed that the thunder preceded the lightning. And it wasn't until they began to understand physics better that they realized that when there's lightning that comes first, it creates a vacuum. And the absence of the vacuum causes air to come together so fast that the air molecules actually slam against the air molecules and go boom. Although they always thought the other one, they found out after science caught up with the Bible that God was not wrong. He was right that he says the thunder follows the lightning. God knew that. You remember when God says that he said, I will forgive you of your sins. And I'll put your sins as far as the east is from the west. And most people read it and never thought about it. But one day I was looking at that and I just began to study it and meditate on the word. And God gave me revelation. And what it was is that he says your sins are as far from the east from the west. Man back then didn't know nothing about North Pole and South Pole, equator. All they knew is they thought the earth was flat. And if you kept selling, you sell off the end. So they didn't know nothing about the shape of it. But God knew because he made it. God knew that there's a North Pole and a South Pole. If you leave this building and you head straight north and you keep walking, when you go across the polar cap, which way will you be walking? If you walk out of here north and you keep walking and you go across the polar cap, you would not be walking south. If you leave out this building and you go south and you go across the South Pole, which way would you be walking on the other side of the world? If you go out this building and you go west, which way will you be going? You'll always be going west. If we see you come around a year later and you walk through that other door and you walk right by, you still going west? Still going west, Pastor Cook. I'm still going west. Still going west. If you go out the other way, still going east. Why? Because God knew there's no east and west pole. He says, I will put your sins as far from me as the east is from the west. He knew what it meant, but people didn't know what it meant. God was saying, I will put your sin. The way he says in the Bible is, I will put your sins as far as the east is from the west, the twain to never meet. The east and the west never meet. We create lines and say they meet, but they don't meet. The direction east is always east. The direction west is always west. They never meet. South will eventually become north. North will eventually become south. God is so smart. If we just go back to the word, we know so many things and save ourselves so much problems. Just think, although that baby lived, the peril of that surgery would have been thwarted, let alone the other babies who had problems also, if they would just read the Bible and say, well, if we're going to do circumcision, let's make sure we do it on the eighth day. God said do it on the eighth day. But people don't have that much sense. They're trying to recreate the wheel and they're killing people in the process. Let's look at let's look at three biblical health principles that I've discovered. Reading through the Bible, there's three principles. I didn't have time. I had to cut this down so much you wouldn't believe it. We're down to about 10% of the information I had because that's all the time I got. But let's talk about three things that I saw in the Word of God that are in common about all the principles that God said about eating and health and healing and things like that. God has identified at least three keys to living a healthy life. Number one, eat only substances he created for food. God did not create chocolate cake. God did not create Hershey bars. God did not create most of the stuff we put in our mouth. He did not create hamburger helper. He did not create TV dinners. God did not create those. Those are not natural foods. They're not in natural state and they're all dead. And I know some people say, well, I eat those all the time. I'm still alive. I bet you got a problem too, don't you? Do you feel your body? Do you feel your body? Well, you know, every now and then, but that's normal. It's only normal because most folk go against the teachings of God. It wasn't normal back in the early days. It wasn't normal. Let's go on here because I want to get some more information. Point number two, as much as possible, eat foods as they were created. Number one was eat only substances God created for food and avoid what was not designed for food. Avoid what was not designed for food. I told you about the concept, the Western concept of dessert. Western culture created dessert. It's a European thing. And your parents would tell you, don't eat that dessert first. You'll spoil your meal. And they tell you that because they know the dessert is crap. And they don't want you to miss the good stuff. They want you to say the crap to end. And even if you were going to eat dessert, every dietitian tells you you should eat it first so the good food could wash the crap out your colon. But you shouldn't be eating the junk. Was it designed for food? Was chocolate designed for food? It wasn't. I know to our mistrained taste buds, it tastes good. But there are people suffering problems, let alone addictions, because of chocolate. Chocoholics. Chocolate bunnies. Chocolate crosses. Chocolate everything. And I'm just throwing out chocolate, but there's just a whole list of things that just aren't good. You know how some people love Mountain Dew, because Mountain Dew's made out of lemon and lime. Do you know neither lemons nor limes have caffeine in them? But Mountain Dew is the highest caffeinated drink next to the super colas like Jolt and Surge and all those. It is the highest, and for many years it was the highest. Why would they put caffeine into lemon and lime drink? Why would they put 57 grams of sugar, I think it is, and a whole bunch of caffeine in something that God didn't make with caffeine? Because caffeine is addictive and it makes you come buy more of it. Because sugar is addictive and it makes you come buy more of it. Why did the original Coca-Cola actually have a lot of caffeine in it to addict you and also had real cocaine in it? It wasn't until 27 or 47 that they gradually just kind of silently made them take the cocaine out of it. But it still has the caffeine. They boosted up the caffeine. They added more sugar. So it still has the same addiction. There are people who had to have their Coke. And there was a time the Coke was the real thing. It was the real thing. You ain't got to see the dealer. You just get yourself. When Coca-Cola first came out, do you know it was marketed as medicine? And you had to go to the pharmacist to get it? It was sold in drug stores. Because it was a drug. It made people feel good. Still making them feel good. Until they get sick and then they die and feel bad. Let's go on a little bit further here. Point number three. Now I said point number one, eat only substance God created for food. Avoid what he did not design for food. Point number two, eat much as possible. Eat as much as possible foods as they were created. Whole foods, we call them. As they were created. Whole foods. Before they're changed or converted into something the humans only think is better. Most of the purposes we convert food is because of shelf life. That's why we convert it. We want it to have a longer shelf life. Let's take, for example, wheat. I get that example. I want to give you point number three. And point number three is, of basic health things I've discovered in the Word of God, is avoid food addictions. Avoid the food addictions. Don't let any food or drink become your God. I just got to have my coffee to wake up. You do? Did you do your Bible study today? Did you have to get your word today? No, I ain't had to get that, but I had to have my coffee. There's a whole lot of things people have to have. I got to have sex at least once a week or I'm going to fall apart. You guys are addicted to sex. All kinds of problems. Let's look at these individually. Eat only substances that are created for food. You remember Genesis 1:29 said what kind of diet you're supposed to have. Now, that basic diet that Adam and Eve was on was nuts, grains, vegetables, and legumes. Look at Hebrews 9:27 quickly. Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. Three biblical health principles we're looking at. Number one, eat only substance created for food. Now notice in Hebrews 9:27 what it says. In Hebrews 9:27, in the New Testament, in the Word of God, to the church, they were talking to people, it says, and it is appointed unto men once to die. Do you know it used to not be appointed to men to die? If you go back and study in Genesis, God talked about why men would die. The ground would be hard to till and men would die. Men were not made to die, but God said because of the fall, man would now die. At the same time, God started allowing man to start eating meat too. Now, one person, this is just supposition. This is what I read behind one scholar. He said that, God, there's some evidence that God knew the man could not live eternally anymore because his punishment was to die, to physically die. And then God allowed him to eat because that would shorten man's life. If you study the ages of men, it kept shortening their life. Adam lived to be 930 years. Adam was a vegetarian. Noah lived to be 500 years. He was a vegetarian up until the flood. Then he began to eat meat at the flood. Moses only lived 120 years. And that was when he gave the law that you were able to eat meat. And they ate meat. It dropped from 930 to 500 to 120. And now most people are at 70. If they get to 70 in, most people are 70. Genesis 3:17. Take a look there real quick. Genesis 3:17. Genesis 3:17. Are you getting anything? Okay, Genesis 3:17. I'm going to go here for time's sake. Are you there? And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Man, you shouldn't always listen to your wife. Now, if she's talking right, you listen to her. And always hear her, but listen is like heed and give attention to. You don't listen to your wife, your kids, or anybody else if it goes against what's right. Adam shouldn't have listened to his wife. God could have made another one. He could have let her go by herself. And this is his punishment. He got punished for listening to his wife in this setting. I'm not saying you get punished for listening to your wife. I'm talking about for listening to her when she's wrong and you know better. Because God told Adam, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat that fruit. Just like he told us, don't eat certain things. He told us, don't eat that pork. Those things that have to, not the cloven hoof. He told us, don't eat the shellfish. Doesn't have the scales. He told us, don't eat it. It got real quiet. I sympathize with you because I thought I was in love with shrimp too. But when I found it wasn't in love with me, I don't love it anymore. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded. God's command needs to lead over what other folks saying and everybody's doing, saying thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake and sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And it goes on there and it talks about all these things that came upon him. And one of them was that his days on the earth were now limited. He would not live eternally upon the earth, but he's appointed once to suffer physical death. And then the judgment would come. Because, see, there was no judgment if he kept living right. But when he sinned, the judgment had to come at some point. So he had to die to go into the judgment. Let's look here. Let's go Deuteronomy 37:7. Now, remember, Moses lived to be 120 years old, but you notice everybody was decreasing. Everybody was decreasing. Deuteronomy 34:7. Deuteronomy 34:7. Deuteronomy 34:7. You're still there. Let's catch up. Deuteronomy 34:7. We're going to try and get as much in as possible. Deuteronomy 34:7. You there?
Yeah.
Okay, Deuteronomy 34:7 reads, I just lost my page. Okay, Deuteronomy, what did I say, 34:7? There we go. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. Maybe he died sick. Maybe he had cancer. Maybe he had a disease. Maybe something happened. And his eye was not dim, nor his natural forces had gone down. That's what abated means. So Moses died healthy. He was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim. He didn't have glaucoma. He didn't have he didn't have old folks' sight. He didn't have problems with any of that. He wasn't wearing spectacles and all that. And his strength was not abated. That means he was not weakened in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He was not weakened. He died healthy. Because his appointed man wants to die, you will not live forever. But you can live healthy until literally the time comes. But the time is not dying sick. That's not your time because it's not God's will anybody die sick. We died prematurely due to ignorance or some other reason. We were deceived of Satan. He took advantage of us because we were ignorant, just like the Bible said. Let's look here again. Psalms 90 verse 10. Psalms 90 verse 10. Help us get through it, Lord. Psalms 90 verse 10. Psalms 90 verse 10. Are you there?
Yes.
Psalms 90 verse 10. This is coming down to the time after Moses, and they begin to level out there. And David, King David was there, and that's where it stood at. And look what it says. The days of our years are 80. Score is 20 years. The days of our years are now 80. And if by reason of strength, there'll be 80, which would be 80 years. Man is promised 70 years on the earth. He's promised at least 70 years on the earth. If you die before 70 and you weren't martyred, you died prematurely. We're promised 70 years. That's where it landed at. That's where it fixed at. But we have to eat healthy to do it, and we have to live right to do it. Otherwise, we don't get the promise. We still have to go back to obeying the word. Tell you about Dr. Robert McGarrison. He studied a tribe of people called the Hunzas. And in 1940, he studied the Hunzas, and he didn't find one case of cancer, ulcers, appendicitis, colitis, heart disease, and hypertension were unknown among those people. The medical experts also found that the Hunza people ate nuts, grains, vegetables, fruits, and legumes only. How about that? They ate the Bible diet. The average Hunza's lifespan was 90 years, and often many of them lived to 120. The medical team concluded that their life expectancy was based on clean water, exercise, and a diet very much like the one described in Genesis by God. If you are sick and you want to get healed, you do what Hippocrates said, the father of modern medicine, who people have twisted and started just dealing with everything with drugs, radiation, and cutting things out of folks. Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, said, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. You're not sick because of a lack of surgery. You're not sick because of a lack of drugs. You're not sick because of lack of radiation. You're sick because of lack of nutrition and an overabundance of toxicity. And add more chemicals in your body does not fix it. Do not go throw your medicine away. I'm not a medical doctor. Consult your medical doctor. But start believing God to get free from the medications. I have seen many people get free from medications just by eating right. Some of them as quick as 2 or 3 days. We've seen people get rid of diabetes in 3 weeks. Doctors say you got to take that medicine the rest of your life, 3 weeks to 9 days. I have a book out there now on how you can get rid of diabetes, and it's been sitting there for about 6 weeks, and we got folks in the church with diabetes. Diabetes, but I ain't going to read nothing. That's a thick book. Well, keep diabetes in. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Not everybody even has it available to them. We got all kind of knowledge available to people. They won't even read it. But it's all right. You know, if we bury them, they still go to heaven. It's going to be all right. You just go there early. You won't get your 3 score and 10. In Leviticus 3:17, God forbid the eating of animals, animal fat and blood. He says that I command you to eat none of the fat or the blood of an animal. In Leviticus, I'm going to go through some of these quickly because I want to get them in and on the tape, and you're going to look some of them up later. But Leviticus 3:17, God commanded the people not to eat the animal fat or the blood. What did God know about fat or blood? He just was trying to stop people because he God and just bossy. That's all. He just bossy. No, God knew something about it. He commanded the people, do not eat the fat or the blood. There's a tribal people, a tribe in Africa, actually, and there's several other ones in the Aborigines and other ones that actually drink blood and ceremonies of passage of right to adulthood. These individuals were studied, and it was found that they had considerably shorter lifespans than surrounding peoples who didn't practice that ritual of drinking blood. Why did God say don't drink the blood? Because science has discovered the parasites travel in the blood. Science have long known that the blood carries infections and toxins that circulate throughout an animal's whole body. You don't want to drink that. Genesis 7:23, God said again, do not eat the fat of the animal. Of the fat you shall not eat it. He commanded it and he hadn't changed his mind. So because they take it and put it inside the meat, and you say, I'm cutting it off the side. When Jesus ate meat, that meat was 4 to 6% fat by body weight of the animal. Our average meat is made by market to be 40 to 60% fat. We fatten them up for market. They are not allowed the range. We pin them up so that they don't work the muscle so it doesn't get tough. We don't want it tough. We want it soft and juicy and full of fat. When God said, don't eat it, but the fine meat connoisseur said, get yourself a nice juicy fatty steak. Now, who are we going to believe? What are we going to conform our minds to if we want God's results of our lifestyle? Scientists have also discovered that animals' fat is where toxins, pesticides, parasites are stored, such as DDT, insecticides, herbicides, antibiotics, and the hormones are given regularly to the cattle that we eat. Fatty tissue cancers. Think about it. Most people have cancer in fatty organs. Breast cancer. You know breast is mostly fat. Prostate is a fatty organ. People say brain tissue is a fatty organ. Colon is a fatty organ. You know anybody got bicep cancer? I got calf cancer in my calf because they're mostly all muscle. The disease and the toxins store in the body in the fat. In your body and in the body of animals. And God is smart enough to say it. I didn't make fat for you. You can eat some of the meat, but don't eat the fat. Don't eat it. It'll mess you up. Don't drink the blood. The blood is not to be drank. And we intentionally, in our meat industry, take the meat. I sold meat and we aged it. We made our own meat there. We'd take the meat. We'd kill it, slaughter the cow, skin it, hang it up for 30 days. Green mold and fungus would be all over it because we were rotting it till it was tender. And then we put chemicals and things on it to take off the rot. And then we cut it. mix some blood back in it, and then put it out for market so you can buy it. It had all kind of pesticides and junk in it. We spray stuff on to try and kill that so it doesn't kill people immediately, but it's low quality meat. God says you had to kill the animal by slitting the throat. You couldn't traumatize it, and you had to eat it immediately. Wasn't no storing it up. He wouldn't even let you salt it up and all that kind of stuff. You had to eat it. You had to eat it quickly. You wouldn't store it up because he knew the meat had to be fresh if you ate it. Do we hear much about thigh cancer, bicep cancer? No, we hear about prostate cancer, brain cancer, cancer of these other fatty tissues and organs. Why do a lot of women have breast cancer? The deodorant. There's a nodule and a gland that's located right there. And when you rub that deodorant in there, you're putting it right into it. It's going into the breast. The fat stores the toxic. Eventually, it gets enough till you develop cancer. From the deodorant having the aluminum and 1,000 other chemicals that will kill you on the inside of it. And you know if you eat right, you don't stink. I go days without putting on deodorant. Days. Because I don't have to wear it now. Sometimes, like if I'm a preacher or something, I wear it still cautious, but I will put on lemon oil, lavender oil, and sage. And it comes in a bottle called Dr. Burt's Herbal Deodorant, and that's all that's in it. I could spray it in my mouth, and it wouldn't kill me. I could drink, and it wouldn't kill me. So when I put it in my arm, and it absorbs into those nodules, it won't kill me. What about your deodorant? Will it kill you? Are there carcinogens in it? I bet you it is, except for everybody who knows better. Because almost every last one of them on the market have at least eight carcinogens. Known cancer-causing agents in. Same thing with the toothpaste. It's in there. Isn't that right, Earl? Earl knows. Earl clued me on a lot of things. Now, you eat those food as they were created. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there's a way that seems right in a man, but the end thereof is destruction. In Deuteronomy 32:12-14, God intended for us to eat bread, but he says in Deuteronomy 32:12-14, eat the bread with the kidney wheat. The kidney wheat is the germ. We take the wheat germ out in the bakery industry because the wheat germ causes it to spoil. We take all the life out so it doesn't spoil, but God said eat it, and he said eat it with he called it the kidney wheat. Eat it with the kidney wheat. Eat it with the germ in it. And we separate the germ from it. And we eat what's left over, which is worthless. It just becomes glue in our bodies. Don't drink food. Don't let any food or drink become your God. Point number three. That's why God created fasting. That's why he created fasting. Exodus 20, verse 3. And Deuteronomy 32:13-14. God told his people, he said, you go on a fast because you know when you're addicted to something when you fast. You'll know. We're going to run out on tape, but we're just about finished, but we got 10 minutes left on the CD. So we're going to go a little bit longer. Fasting is what most folk will not do. You got folks, if they miss a meal, they say, I'm famished, I can't make it. You already got problems. If you can't miss a meal without something going wrong with you, now people who are diabetic, they know there's something wrong with them. But I'm talking, you got folks thinking nothing wrong with them, can't miss a meal without getting dizzy and falling out. I go regularly missing meals. Not as a long lifestyle, but food is not a big thing to me. I had some juice today. I had juice today. I had a banana this morning, but I had juice today. Last night I had some soup. Didn't eat anything yesterday. Day before that, I ate some soup again. Didn't have anything that day. So I hadn't eaten very much in the last 3 or 4 days. I'm fine. Earl will fast and go a whole week. Still alive. Doctor said you got the heart and the liver and the kidneys and your internal organs are that of a 38-year-old man. And Earl is at least 40. That's Earl right there. For y'all don't know Earl. Earl is older than me. I'm 41. Earl's older than me. But why? Because Earl's been 25 years eating right. That's somebody right there would tell you benefits of eating right. He's been 25 years eating right. Earl does stuff you and I don't even have faith to do yet. He's been talking to me about a hot sauce enema. I ain't there yet. I ain't there for the cayenne enema yet. I'm working my way there, but I ain't there yet.